So we're continuing our sermon series today of stepping out. So let's go ahead and read Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And you can find this in the Bibles in front of you or on the board. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So this was an intense day. Jesus had been healing people, feeding a crowd of how many people? 5,000 people, and teaching them. And finally, at the end of the day, Jesus went to send the people home. He said, "Goodbye, go on home." It's hard to imagine that Jesus would feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's really a miracle. This is the part of the text that shares that. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. As I prayed about this message and prepared, I was looking at the text in the NIV, and it, you know how the NIV has those chapter titles at the top of the sections? And I was kind of bummed, because the more I read it and the more I prayed about it, I saw the Peter Walks on Water title, and I thought it was kind of belittling to the passage. Because this is not really a walking on water adventure text as much as it is a call to each one of us to solitude. And I've always heard this as this passage is a sermon on adventure living. But really, the more I looked, it was on the inward life and the quiet life and living close to God. So if I were the editor, I would have named it something else. This seems a little backwards to me. Maybe it should have been Solitude with the Father up top. I don't know. I'm not an NIV editor. Maybe I should be. But it seems a little bit backwards. Let's do that again. Whoa! Very, very backwards. That is one of my favorite people at SPU, and he happens to be taking things to a new level, going backwards up the stairs. Okay, so that very night, Jesus sent the disciples out to go to the other side of the lake, and he, Jesus, went up the hill to be alone. So this is much like Blakely's video. We think adventure is where we're supposed to be, but really maybe we're supposed to be in solitude. Jesus steps out to find solitude. And walking on water begins in solitude. And because I'm an active learner myself, I decided to add a hand motion that we could all learn. If you're an active learner, you can do that with me. So walking on water, so do this for walking on water, begins in solitude. So walking on water begins in solitude. So Jesus is having his alone time. We see his intense need to be alone throughout his ministry. He is constantly balancing the demands of his day and his own need to be with the Father. Typically, the people's needs tend to win the day. He has such a big heart for people. But in this case, Jesus sneaks away and is alone. I'm struck that so many times when we focus on preaching or teaching the story of Jesus' walking on water, that it is forgotten that the story begins in solitude. So I ask us today, how do we connect with God in our world? And how do we ever find time to be alone? For one, even if we are alone, we have technology to keep us busy, to keep us connected with all of those things that are exciting and out there are happening. We also have lifestyle choices that are always before us. Maybe we should go try that different restaurant. Oh, maybe I should hunt down a good Thai restaurant in Kirkland. Oh, for 2 weeks from now when I'm going to be going out with those friends that wanted to do something kind of ethnic, maybe I need to find out where that Mexican restaurant is so that I can do, oh, which one is that? Oh, can we get a Groupon? Oh, that would be a great idea. So we just constantly have all this stuff going on. And these can be barriers. And, you know, also traffic can be barriers. And I think, you know, I only preach a couple times a year when Pastor Brian's gone. But I have to say, I bet every single sermon I mention traffic. Is that right for the few of you that were there last time? I think I always mention traffic and how I think that traffic is a huge barrier for us here on the east side. I think I plan my entire day every day around traffic, thinking about how I'm going to get to where I need to go or feeling the gloom of the impending traffic. Is anyone else in agreement? Just a few of us? Okay. Yes, some people. Okay. Also, I have to say on a personal note, one of the things that keeps me very distracted is food. Preparing food for my family, worrying about pesticides, trying to get whole foods and things that are not going to be toxic for them in our everyday diet and preparing them and cleaning. I mean, literally, I could spend the entire day every day in the kitchen. I could, but I try not to, and I try to make it faster, but it's really tough. And also, our jobs, they keep us distracted and busy. We worry about the relationships with our coworkers, about our productivity. We worry that we won't be successful, that we'll be lost in the shuffle. Maybe if we have kids, we worry about the legacy that we're leaving through our parenting. We try with all of our might to raise them up to be faithful believers. We worry, we fret. We've got the gardening to do and the home maintenance. We have taxes and financial management. And you know what? In all of this, we might neglect our most important relationships. We may even neglect our marriage. 50% of all marriages in our nation end in divorce. Relationships cause tension. Jesus was busier than ever. We can see it here. This drove him to solitude. So walking on water begins in solitude. Let's try that again. Walking on water begins in solitude. I've tried to break down what solitude looks like in our world, and I have some ideas. I'm sure you do too. We need to breakthrough, though, and we need to take this seriously. We need to take this solitude thing seriously. Sometimes I think we cannot keep going at this pace. If we do, we will be worshipers of the demands that are upon us and not worshipers of the one true God. We are not in the driver's seat and not able to be faithful with an intimate relationship with God when we are running all the time. And Jesus knew this all too well. Although there are seasons in life, I was at a presbytery meeting a couple weeks ago, and I was having dinner with some friends at the presbytery meeting, and one lady was new, and she said, "So how many kids do you have?" And I said, "Oh, I have 4 kids. What ages?" And I told her the ages, and she said, "You must have no time to yourself." And I was like, I reflected for a moment. She was very strong in saying that, and I was like, "Well, you're right. Yeah, I don't." And I was like, wow. And preparing for this this sermon, I thought, you know, how do even I excavate time to be with the Father? How do I do that? So when our days are busy, sometimes we need to escape. We may do it alone at night, find a prayer group, and then linger afterwards in solitude. Being with others can spark a greater desire to be alone with Jesus. For me personally, I love to listen to the sermon series from this church online. It's on audio. I love it when Brian and I have time to pray together at the end of a day. On the way to school, I love to pray with my kids in the car as we head to Lake Washington High School. Love to pray specific things every day. We pray for anything unique that's happening that day. We also pray that the Lord would bless us and guide us and enlarge our ministry and help us to serve Him. We also pray for the full armor of God to be on every member of our family from Ephesians 6. So, and this is a prayer that I lead the kids in, and we pray for our family every day. And it's a beautiful opportunity to really dedicate the day to the Lord. So that's one thing that I have done to step away, even though we are en route and on the go, to step away and be committed to God. So let's look at Matthew 14. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, it is you? Lord, if it is you?" Peter replied, "Tell me to come to you on the water." Now we transition to the story's claim to fame. Jesus walking on the water. But we have to remember, walking in the water begins with solitude. As always, Jesus saves the day with his comforting reminder, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then Peter calls out in verse 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus replies with a single word, "Come." And with that, Peter walked towards Jesus. You know, as I pondered this, I have to tell you that I envisioned him taking a number of steps. I actually initially, before writing this sermon, thought that Peter just took a couple steps and then went straight down. But as I pondered it, I think that he might have taken like 15 steps. I don't know about you, it doesn't say. But as I was feeling the text and thinking the text, I saw this, that he probably took more than we know. He got out there in the water and put his trust in Jesus. Jesus, on the other hand, being a pro at this walk on water thing, he had a very strong skill set, and he was solid in his faith. I'm going to show us a video right now. Go ahead.
Stop on 2. Backside. Nice little shove it to land it right on.
That's pretty awesome.
Quick pause. Ben Kay going out for one. Backside.
So Jesus was like those guys. They're awesome. And Jesus was beyond awesome because he was not just skimboarding. He was out in the middle of the lake and he was walking. So, you know, these ones, I'm going to show you a couple more videos of skimboarders. And these are probably closer to our ability to skimboard and our ability to walk on water, and definitely closer to what Peter did. We're trying to do it. We're trying to do it. Almost. Almost. We're going to make it. Well, maybe not quite. Almost. All right. We have the slow-mo for effect on those. So just like the second skimboarder, we realize that faith and solitude and being with God takes a lot of practice, and Jesus has this down. A side note, so that actually the second one was Pastor Brian. So I just have to say that. So you can tell him what a good job he did when he comes back next week. Okay, so in great despair, Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." Something I found interesting about this account is that Peter is the one who steps out. There's a lot of other people in the boat. He says, "I want to be near to Jesus. I want to get close to him." I'm not exactly sure what was going on in his mind, yet we see that he believed and he took a step on the boat and into the water without thinking. After taking a few steps, he started to worry and question his faith, and he began to sink. Thankfully, who is there to rescue him? Jesus. This is such grace. It is such grace. So let's look at Matthew 14:28-33. "The Lord, Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." To be honest, I admire Peter. I think it's really great that he got into the boat and got out of the boat and got back. I can just think the guys in the boat thinking, "Hey, this is going to be entertaining. Peter is going to walk out there. I see this as a display of Peter's heart, desire for solitude, for solidarity with God." Because walking on water begins in solitude. It shows his heart for solitude, just like Jesus had on the mountain. He wanted to be close to Jesus. Yet he went into the panic and he said, "Lord, save me." We have pure hearts wanting to connect with God, yet the waves lap up, strife hits up, fear comes and stops us, threatening our faith. We must cry out to God in the midst of the traffic, chaos, debt, obligations, professional concerns, family concerns, fear, and parenting struggles. Our own personal lives and pride mock us and lead us to cry out, "Lord, save me." Keeping our eyes on Jesus and stepping out is really what we want to do and what we need to do. We step out. Peter's desire to go where Jesus was, out on the water, is an inspiration. May we also follow Jesus where he is and seek unity and solidarity with Christ. May we step out of this busy and possibly wicked world to find the presence of our Heavenly Father in our lives. Maybe even find the space where God is speaking to us. So many people have found this through prayer and scripture reading. So many ways to seek God have been taught to us by the church fathers and the church mothers. There are many times when in my life where I have actually practice the manifest presence of God. An example of this would be walking through a door, and you're going to think I'm weird, walking through the door, opening it up extra long so that Jesus can walk through, just sensing the presence of God with me. Or maybe I'll set an extra spot at the table and have an extra plate there, just knowing that the Lord is with us as we eat. So I've really tried at times to make the presence of God real in my life. Although I have to say it's almost intangible, the presence of God. It's almost sort of like a sixth sense, I would have to say. It's the power of the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart, speaking to me, and it's almost like a compass, like a holy compass that is showing me where to go that I'm walking around with. And I wish I could break it down for you, but it's so deeply ingrained in who I am as a Christian. And I believe if you're not a believer, I encourage you to become a believer as soon as possible, because the deeper you walk with Christ on a daily basis, the deeper you have the presence and a deep sense of the Spirit walking with you, convicting you and guiding you and leading you. And sometimes we don't want to listen to that voice, but it is a profound comforter. The Holy Spirit is a profound comforter and a profound friend that walks with us through the chaos of life. So, intimacy comes with extended prayer, and it comes through suffering and depending wholly on God. It comes through big moments like stepping out and going crazy. And it also is an act of dependence. In Matthew 14:31, it says, "At once Jesus reached out and grabbed a hold of him and said, 'What little faith you have. Why did you doubt?'" Why do we doubt? Jesus had faith. In fact, Jesus was faith. His intimacy with God caused him to be the epitome of faith. We are like Peter. We struggle to step out and embrace the lifeline that we've been given. It's the constant presence and the constant hand of Jesus reaching out, pulling us out of despair. It is up to us to follow through and to find solitude. Matthew 14:32 says, "They both got out of the boat, and the wind died down. Then the disciples in the boat worshiped Jesus. 'Truly, you are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." And I've got to think, because I hate being cold, that Peter was cold. He was in the boat wet and cold. I don't know why, but I get kind of a cold vibe there. He's probably sitting there shaking, but freaked out too. Okay, Jesus stepped out to solitude. Peter steps out to draw us closer to Jesus. We step out too, because walking on water begins in solitude. We step out in the midst of our busy lives because we're in need of solitude and making faith in Christ the greatest priority of our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us together. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to us. We pray that all of those people, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they could find a deep and personal relationship with you. We pray, Lord, that we would find solitude, that we'd find intimacy with you, that we would make going up on that hill a priority, much like Jesus, to spend time. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to see this great witness. We pray that you'll continue to speak to us throughout this service. In Jesus' name, amen.